All right. So we've been talking, started a series some time ago called Health to All Their Flesh. Let's turn over to Proverbs 4:20 real quick. That's our text. Not real quick, but let's turn there and then we'll go from there. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20 says there, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you." There's just so much here. Let's read verse 20, go forth again. It just says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." So we've said that give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings means you're paying attention to what God said. But it also means to look away from things that would be contrary to God's word, whatever form they come in. If they're, well, whatever form, if it contradicts God's word or takes your attention away from God's word, tries to distract you, this is where the challenge is, to keep your eyes focused on what He said. This is a challenge in life because we have so many distractions, and I believe we probably have more distractions than we ever have, at least close by. There's just a lot there to distract us, to take us off, to tell us that God's word is not true. Availability of information is good, but there's also availability of a lot of opinions. It's just at your fingertips, and you have to be disciplined to not let it sway you. There is a discipline, because how many of you know? I mean, all you have to do is just walk around with one of these things with your nose stuck in it, and there's just, you could keep yourself busy all day, you know, even if you weren't working or whatever, but, you know, in between, just with a bunch of stuff going on. And how many of you know there's always more stuff going on? There's yesterday's news, and there's today's news. Tomorrow there'll be news you didn't see before. It's new. Some of it's old, but some of it's new. And so it's a discipline to get your eyes and to focus them on His Word. And it's a key to staying in faith. Verse 21, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." So keep them in front of you. Stay focused on them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. "For they are life to those who find them, and their health to all their flesh." Their life and their health. Didn't say they're like life. Didn't say they're like health. It says they are life. It says they are health. God's words are literally health. God's words in the other translations in the margin of some Bibles, it says they're medicine. They're medicine to all their flesh. So God's words are medicine to us. So the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. That implies discipline. You have to keep your heart. Just like, you know, I know Pete gardens. I don't. He does. Some other people do. You don't just let the thing grow and hope for a, you know, good product, good crop. That's not, you have to do something with it. You have to keep it. Well, our heart's the same way. You just let, well, whatever, doesn't matter. I'll just watch this. I'll look at this. I'll just think on this. We're not going to get the results we want. We have to keep our heart with diligence. Why? Because out of it spring the issues of life. That means that they're vital. Your heart, what the condition of your heart is vital to what you experience in life. And we'll get to this. We're going to focus on this a little bit, that people don't understand that, and they're trying to use God's word as a magic pill. And just take a little bit, and it'll just change everything. Well, it's medicine, but there is this part of keeping your heart. In other words, keeping your heart on the right things, filling your consciousness with the Word of God is going to help the Word of God take root and to work in your life. Let's read the last part of this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. So we read these scriptures. We said that God's word's full of health. It's full of life. It'll change your body. That's what we're focusing on right now. You know, on Wednesdays we focus on faith and healing. And so God's word is health and in every area, but specifically to your body, it's health. It is literally health. And we've been talking about that last few weeks. If you didn't hear the messages, I encourage you to go back. We're going to be going forward tonight. We're not going to repeat everything we've said. But we started to say right at the end of last time, I don't know if you, those of you that were with us, remember, we left with some of these thoughts and just allow you to think on them. We're going to pick up here. And if you didn't hear that last message, go listen to it because it'll help you with the foundation that we've already laid and help you to get more out of what you're going to hear now. You could always go back and listen to that and then listen to the recording of this one. But so Proverbs says, give attention to his words. Incline your ear to his sayings, for their life to those who find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. So since God's word is medicine to all our flesh, we need to know how to take it. We need to know how to take God's medicine, his word, and appropriate it for healing for our bodies. You need to know what to do. So you take God's medicine by doing what Proverbs 4, 20, and 21 says to do. Number one, attend to his words. Verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words. So give attention to his words. Number two, incline your ear unto it. Incline your ear to my sayings. So give attention to his words, incline your ear to his sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. And number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. All these instructions imply a continual ongoing action, not something we do one time or every once in a while. I'm going to say that again. These instructions imply a continual ongoing action, not something you just do once in a while. One time, once in a while, got it. Don't they? Look at them again. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Then what? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So what does that imply to you? You're keeping them going in. This isn't a one-time thing. It says, well, I looked at God's word. Now I'm ready. I'm healed. And see, people try to do that, and they wonder, well, why doesn't it work? It's because they're not doing it according to the word. God's word is not a magic wand. It's not a magic pill. And a lot of people are using it like that. You know, a lot of people go from place to place, and I'm not knocking people. I'm not making fun of people. I'm just trying to instruct you guys on why certain things don't work for people. They go and they go to a healing meeting. They get prayed for, and there is a healing anointing. And there are people that are specifically anointed to minister healing. It works in most of the time, unless it's an act. It's a move of the Spirit specifically. The person needs to hear something of the word in order to even act in faith, even to receive healing by the laying on of hands, even if there's a healing anointing there. You still need to believe there's something going on, and people need to act in faith. But so many people, they're looking for a magic solution. They just want their bodies well, and I understand that. If you're hurting, you want to be well. I understand that. But we need to understand how God's word works. We need to understand God is sovereign. God is the God of all creation. And going to him like a vending machine, like people do, is not going to work a lot of times. People are going to him trying to get something, and then they're going to go back to their normal life. Now, I'm not saying God cares for us. He loves us. I'm not saying we're trying to work something up or trying to earn something. Jesus paid the price, but the way you're going to have lasting effect, you've probably even seen it recently. people go to the meetings, or they have hands laid on them, or they're prayed for, and they get results. But unless you do what we're talking about here, those results will be temporary. Amen. Yep. Yeah, the anointing goes into people. Yeah, you can see changes, but you need to know how to keep it. Right. And the best thing is just know how the power of God works, know how His medicine works, so you can stay there. Amen. That's what we want. I don't know about you. I mean, it's wonderful to have a healing and relief, but if it comes back, see, it doesn't just come back just like pushing itself on you. We need to know how to stand against it and resist. How is it? You have God's word in your heart. It's there, so you're not pushed off, because what? It's residing in there. You're more concerned or more convinced of God's word than you are this stuff. See, if we just get a little dose, or we come and we try to immerse ourselves for a bit and we get some results, if we don't do what we're talking about here and attend to His word, we start attending to other things. Then when those symptoms come back, what are we full of? If we're not full of the word, we're full of something else. And so let's say you've been meditating on current events or on television shows that would show you people dying and people having no hope but medical science. You watch that over and over and somebody gets sick. What do? They go to the doctor. Are we against doctors? Absolutely not. Thank God for doctors. They're a helps ministry to God's healing power. But if you watch people and see images of people that their only hope is a doctor, and if a doctor can't do anything for them, they are going to die. Then when something, if that's what you're full of, and you're full of the news, and the news is talking about destruction and people dying and this epidemic and people have, you know, this vaccine is the only way, then when something comes on you, what are you full of? You're not full of the power of God. You're not full of God's medicine. You're full of what you've seen. So what's going to come out? Well, what you're full of. It's not complicated. I didn't say it's easy. It's not easy to push out the stuff we're inundated with. We're pushed on. We have distractions. But I'm telling you right now, this is a secret. It's not really a secret. I mean, it's wide open, the Word of God. But most people don't understand this. A lot of people would reject this out of hand. Yeah. That God's Word is health to us. But it is. It's powerful. God's Word will change any circumstance in your life if we'll let it. But it won't just do it independently. It needs a place to grow and sprout and bloom, and that's called your heart. You say, how does all that work? I don't know. I don't need to know. All I need to know is God said it, and it works. You don't need to understand everything. You don't need to be able to explain it. You just need to believe it and understand that God said it and then walk in it. It's a whole lot of stuff I don't understand, even as a software engineer. I don't want to understand it. I don't frankly care, because I took some of those classes on quantum physics and stuff and got to the point where I really don't care how the electrons get around. I don't want to operate at that level. That's for somebody else to know. Certain, you know, electrical engineers and scientists at a certain level, how these electrons tunnel through stuff, I don't care. I don't need to know. What I need to know is I got a platform for a computer. Somebody else has already written the lower levels of stuff. I can just operate up here and write stuff in a certain language. That's all. You just give me that platform. You get the other stuff set up. I don't really need to know how to lay out the computer chip and how those tools work and how all the connections are made. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know. Mm-hmm. I just need to know what I need to know to get my work done. And you don't need to know how the Word of God takes root in your heart and how it's able to drive out sickness. If you want to know, well, go ask God about it, but you're only going to get so far because you're not going to understand that. But you need to know. What I want to know is I want to make it work for me, and I just want to be free. Right? That's where I want to be. So if we're focusing on His, where we just take His instructions, it will work for us. So this is what He's saying here. He's telling us, how do you take His medicine? In the natural, suppose you had a sickness last year. and your doctor prescribed a certain kind of medicine for you to take. Let's say you took antibiotics. Anybody, you know, if you've ever taken antibiotics for some, you know, infection or something like that. So let's suppose you took them, you know, maybe say it's not last year, but say you took them at, let's just say you took them at one time. So say you took them last year. And then suppose you got sick again this year. We're just saying suppose, okay? We believe for divine healing, but let's just say this is the circumstance. You got sick again this year, and the doctor prescribed you antibiotics again. So would you tell him, oh no, I took that last year, I'm good. I'm all set. Would you?
No.
Well, then why are you here? You know, why are you seeing me? Well, but I took those last year. See, it doesn't work that way. And most people have enough sense in the natural to know that the dose they took last year is not doing them any good now. You know, they took however many pills were in the little thing, you know, tab, or we'll take so many doses and then you're done. But the dose you took last year isn't going to do you a bit of good this year. It's the same way with God's Word. God's Word won't benefit you if you have the attitude, I've heard that before. It doesn't matter. And if you get a hold of this, if you leave, this isn't really the focus, but if you leave, I mean, it really, this is part of it, but if you leave with one thing right now and you understand, tonight, you will have gained something if you understand that you need a fresh dose of God's Word continually. If you'll understand that just because you heard the word on healing last year, you say, I'm good, and you try to believe mentally, it won't work. Did you hear me?
Yes.
If you get that one thing and leave here and understand that and begin to act on it, that's worth the price of admission right there. Because people are trying to do this all the time, and they're like, I know this. But you know what? If it's not active in your heart, if it's not vital, if you're not keeping your heart full, if you're not attending to the Word, you could have been healed and fought off sickness 15 times and resisted it because you were full of the Word. But if you don't keep it fresh, if you don't keep it built up, if you don't keep your heart full, if you're not attending to the Word, and you start to just drift, and you start to just float, and you say, well, it doesn't, I know this stuff now. I know about healing. I heard such and such back in whenever, 93, 83, 73, 63, I keep on going, 53. I know that. You have that attitude? Pretty soon, I can do this and I can do that. It's all right. I'm good. You know what? Something comes on you and you'll go to say, resist it, get out of here, pray. And you know what? Nothing there. Some people don't even get to that point where they'll have it a little bit and they think, oh, I got it. I know it. Therefore, see, I know it. I have it. I know how it operates. It doesn't matter if you know how it operates. If you don't have any juice in the tank, it's not going to work. You guys hearing me?
Yes.
I heard Kenneth Copeland speak on this thing once. Kenneth Copeland. Okay, going around, and he was telling the story. And he was talking about how he was out preaching healing. And he had preached it for how long? I don't know at this point. But known for preaching faith and healing. One of the people that's, you know, was at the forefront of this Word of Faith movement. And he's out there preaching, and he's starting to have a problem with his leg. And he speaks to his, like, you know, go, and he gets out, and he's preaching, and it's just getting worse. Out there preaching faith. Out there, people getting healed. Go back to the hotel room. His leg's getting worse. And you know what he realized? I'm worn out. I'm not full of the Word. I don't have any punch. I don't know if he used those words, but that's what words I use. You don't have any oomph behind your words. You can say them. See, people miss it when they think it's like, well, you just can have what you say. No, you have what you say when you believe it.
Right.
Whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he say will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Not just whatever you say. And this is where people miss it. Well, I'll try that. Hocus pocus. That's what, you might as well say that. They're trying to use it like magic. I'll just say it. It doesn't work that way. And then people say, well, it doesn't work. Well, no, it doesn't. Because it's not just what you say. It's what you say in faith. That means you have to believe something. To believe something, it's got to be in your heart. And it can't be in your heart 10 years ago. It needs to be in your heart now. I'm telling you guys, this will change your life right now if you get a hold of what I'm saying. You need to have it vital in your heart now for it to have punch, for you to, when you pray the prayer of faith, when you speak the words, that there is a spiritual substance in your heart, a power that dissipates and pushes out the sickness. How is that going to happen? You're attending to God's word. You're keeping it in the midst of your heart. And so Brother Copeland, he went, he got off the road, and by then, I mean, he was having major problems with his leg. He finished the meetings, went back, and he realized he just needed to get in the Word. He needed to get some rest. He had, I believe, his mother-in-law, or somebody was there, or maybe it was his mother, I don't know, and Gloria, and they prayed, and they believed, and he got rested, and he got full of the Word, and he got over it, and he got well, and he got healed. You can be out there preaching faith. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean, see, you can, there's an anointing that comes on a person to preach, but every person has to believe for themselves. You don't have any special anointing to believe God in your personal life. It doesn't exist. You're anointed to preach the word. But you still have to believe God for yourself. So that means you have to have a personal relationship. That means you have to build yourself up personally. And so you have to keep it. You got to keep your tank full. Now, you don't have to be legalistic with this. Well, I'm not talking about works. And people, see, they go into one ditch or the other. People do. They either, well, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever and, you know, just say the words and it'll work. Well, those people probably aren't getting anything. But then, over here, well, you got to do it. I mean, not just clockwork. You got to read these 10 scriptures, and they got 18 pages of scriptures, and I have to go down these scriptures so I stay full. Well, that's legalism. What if you miss one? Going to work? It doesn't say thou shalt read 18 pages of healing scripture. The Bible doesn't say it. It says keep yourself full. You know, I found sometimes you just read one verse, and just if you just get that verse. I mean, me personally, I have a list of scriptures I'll go through, and I read a portion of them every day. Not without fail. Generally, I read them. Just read them, keep myself full. But sometimes I get to one and just like, that's where it's at, and I'll just look at it, and you just think about that. All right, I'm good. That's the one. I just need to think about that. Well, you can get filled up on one scripture. Mm-hmm. It's God's word. You can get filled up on one word of one scripture. Don't be legalistic about it. Don't carve out, don't use somebody else's method that's working for them. You're supposed to attend to his words. It doesn't say how many. It just means you need to be full. And this takes a personal relationship. You know, some people don't like that. They want to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. They don't want to know God for themselves and listen. Well, what do I need? Well, no, I just do what, such and such did. I'll do what Joyce Meyer did, or, Andrew Womack did, or Brother Hay. Just tell me what you did, and then I'll do that. Because that's, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to learn from people. I'm saying don't take it as gospel in itself and say, I'm going to do this because such and such doing, therefore it'll work. That's like somebody getting in between you and God. We need to know him. And it's okay to know him and act on his word for yourself. Know how he's speaking to you. Stay full. yourself and how he's leading you, and you're different from every other person. Don't get in the ditch of legalism. Don't make a law out of it. Don't say, I have to do this, because you know what? The enemy will accommodate you like that. It's like, well, you didn't do your scriptures this morning. That's why you're getting hit. And the fact is, you've been meditating on the word for the last 5 weeks, and now you're falling to a trick that says, well, you didn't do this. This is why this is happening to you. That's not true. See, don't fall for that. I used to be like that to a degree. I just realized, you know, and then sometimes you just don't do that. Just let God be God, and it's acting on his word that dwells in your heart. And if you'll act on his word, it'll work for you. You just want to keep the tank full. That's the bottom line. Amen. So you don't say, well, I heard all that before, so therefore I know it. Therefore it'll work. No, it won't. I'm not saying God's word. The thing is, it's faith. It's believing. And if God's word, or if other things have become bigger than God's word to you, and you're not assured, you're not certain, you're not convinced, you're not in faith. So then don't try. You want to make sure before you release the words, before you pray, that you're in faith. How do you know? You want to look at the word. I mean, I'm not saying you go through some ritual. It's not ritual. It's not legalism. It's acting on his word. And so you need to have it before you to know, yes, this is what it says, and I'm going to act on that in faith. But keeping it before you. Don't let your tank get completely empty. Don't just feel like you can do anything and drift. Don't get into legalism and feel like if you don't do X, Y, and Z, it's not going to work. The truth is in the middle. You need to be convinced. Keep it in the midst of your heart like these scriptures are saying. Be ready and be tanked up. And then God's word, by dwelling in your heart, you'll remain in good health. You'll have the faith to push off and to stand against any sickness. You have to keep taking his medicine. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, not by having heard. Amen. Let's turn over. We have a few minutes. We'll get, you know, the way we run it on Wednesday nights, said some of this before, but just so you guys understand, it's more like just almost a classroom setting. Okay, so we're going to the next thing. These aren't, generally, they'll be almost standalone. But my intent is, if we get done with one part, we're going to go to the next part, and if we just barely get into it, we'll pick up the next time, okay? Sundays are a little bit different. They're series, but a lot of times we'll end on a punch, you know, with an exclamation point. But here, just like the bell's going to ring in 10 minutes, we're done. I'm not going to go over just, unless it's the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's why we can sometimes pick up stuff and introduce things and then pick them up the next time. So why don't you turn over to Matthew 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. Everybody there? It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed. Imagine Jesus marveling. Really, he's the Son of God, and he's like, wow, Wow. You imagine him being that impressed? Huh? You know, he's not easily impressed, I don't think. But we see what impresses him. It's the same now. God is impressed by certain things, and this is one of the things he's impressed with. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." He's impressed by faith. He's impressed when his children, when people come to him and believe him. That impresses God. That pleases him. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? That without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you know how to please him. I mean, he loves you. Doesn't mean he loves you any less, but it pleases him when you walk in faith. It pleases God. You want to wow God? Walk in faith. Believe what he said. Wow, you believed me. And this guy, he's saying, wow, you believe me this much. So verse 13, skip down. He says some stuff about Israel, but then verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. So Jesus called the centurion's faith great faith. He said, "You have great faith." He said, "I haven't seen such great faith." He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." So what is great faith? The answer is found in verse 8. The centurion said to Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Great faith is simply faith in God's word. It's simply taking God at his word. That's great faith. It's not a big mystery. It's not hyper-spiritual. It's not walking around like, you know, like you're just trying to act spiritual. That's not great faith. Great faith is just God said it. Okay, I believe that. It's childlike faith. I believe it. How do you know you believe it? You act like it. You act on it. You know, you may not feel like it, even if you act on it. You know, you can feel, your mind can be like a little jittery, but in your heart, you're convinced and you speak it and your mind is getting drilled with, well, this isn't going to work. This is already, these symptoms are already here. This isn't going to, but if you're inside, you believe the word and you step out anyway in spite of that and just push through, that's faith. Faith is of the heart. It's not of your head. You can have doubt in your head and it still work because you have faith in your heart. It's not about what you have in your head. You can have doubt in your head. You can get hit with doubts in your head. Your head can be going, "What are you doing? This isn't going to work." But your heart, you're saying, "No, I believe him. He said it, therefore it's going to work." That's when you know you're convinced. That's why you want to have yourself built up to where you can withstand those doubts. God wants us to have the same great faith that the centurion had. He wants us to have confidence in the authority of God's word. He wants us to believe that if he said it, if his word says it, that because of his word, because of the authority that's in his word, it has to happen. That's where you want to get. That's where you want to be, that you're saying it. And it doesn't matter what you think. If you believe it, it has to happen because the words have a higher authority than what you think or not think. You are exercising and speaking God's word. Therefore, it has to happen. See, that's faith in his authority. That's faith in his word. So you say it, and you say, "This has got to change because he said it. I'm doing what he said. Therefore, it doesn't matter what's hitting my head. It has to happen." See, that's faith in his word. That's faith in the integrity and in the confidence in the authority of his word. Because of the centurion's great faith, Jesus said unto him, "Go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done to you." Jesus didn't do anything special. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion said, no, I know how this works. I tell my man what to do and they go do it. I have people that tell me what to do and I do it. You're an authority. I recognize who you are. If you say it, it's got to happen. Just say the word and it'll happen. And Jesus is like, whoa. You mean you just believe what I said and that's all it takes? That's all we need to do. If he said it, that's why, but you have to attend to his word. You have to say, God, you said this. You need to be convinced that his word's truth. You need to be convinced that what you're speaking is indeed his will. You need to be convinced that his will for you is health. You need to be convinced that when you say the words, it'll work. That's how you're attending. That you're attending to the word so that you're convinced that his word is true. And when you say his word, what you're speaking will happen. And it's simply saying, well, I see it. I believe it. God, you said it. All right. It has nothing to do with how you feel. You feeling good about it is not going to add any authority to his word. You feeling like bad about it is not going to take away any authority from his word. It's him. We just have to have enough belief that what he said will happen, and then you remove your feelings from it. You remove your symptoms from it. You say, this has to work. That's faith. So you're cutting through all the carnal stuff, all the senses. Your faith, your feelings, your symptoms. You're saying, none of that matters. Just what you said. That's what this guy did. He said, look, you don't have to come. You don't have to walk. I don't have to see you lay hands on anybody. I don't have to see you be in the presence of anybody. I don't have to see anything. You just say it. And I know it'll happen. See, he said, my servant, he's at home. He's at home paralyzed. There he wasn't there. So he's away somewhere. He didn't say, well, I need you to come into my house. I need you to do something for me. He just said, you say it here. I mean, think about the distance. He doesn't have to see him. He doesn't have to have Jesus come with him. He's not concerned about the distance. He's not concerned about him physically touching him. He's just saying, all you have to do is speak the word here. It'll happen there. I'll go home and he's going to be fine. All you have to do is speak. Now do it. Just please speak. And Jesus did, and he was. Amen. That's faith. Now that's the same thing. If you see in the word, the Bible tells you to say into the mountain. The Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. The Bible says, he himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. Then you're looking at it going, okay. You have to be convinced that that's for you. Then you need to release your faith. You can lay hands on the sick. You can speak to the mountain. You can do both. Yep. Believe you receive. But you release faith and say, God, according to these words, according to the scriptures I've read, this is what your word says. So I'm gonna lay my hands on it. I'm going to receive. And you release your faith and you say, okay, that's it. That's it. See, you're the mouthpiece. You're saying, that's it. It's done. And you go on. What if it doesn't look like it? Doesn't have anything to do with it. It'll change. See, that's great faith. Praise God. The Bible says, God never changes. What he has done for anyone else, he'll do for you if you'll believe him and take him at his word. He's no respecter of persons. Just like this, if we'll just act on it and believe him and then refuse to change, it'll work. Amen.